This presentation has been previously broadcast.
Well, thank you for taking a few minutes out of your busy day to pray. What a good day to pray, though, huh? Ash Wednesday, it is a day. I just want to remind you that we are called to not just pray, but to fast. The church requires that, especially on 2 days, Good Friday and Ash Wednesday. If you haven't done it yet, it's not too late. Jump on board. You can still make those sacrifices. I remember one Lent, for a particular reason, my wife and I had to be given dispensation, but we ended up fasting and making up the obligation the next day. So there's lots of ways you can get on board. The Holy Father has asked us to pray and fast in particular for the crisis in Ukraine. Our nation's bishops have been asking us to do the same, and I'd like to pray for not just the citizens there. I'd like to pray for Vladimir Putin, for the conversion of his heart, to hold back the hand of any ruler who would think about using nuclear weapons. I'm going to pray for our own leadership here, that they may come to know God and be faithful to his law. And of course, I want to pray for you, for whatever needs you have, whatever intentions you have. We're going to come together as one spiritual family, children, sons and daughters of God, and we'll petition our Heavenly Father for his great mercy. All right, you can join me anytime. I'll give you the speed dial here in case you're new to the broadcast. You might be in one of the many new areas that we are now reaching, and you are welcome to join us with your prayer intention. The number here is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. So feel free to dial in. I had a call the other day asking why we offer the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord to the Holy Father. And I'll tell you what, I will answer that when we're done the chapel today. So stay with me for that. We can dive into that and I'll try to unpack that. It's a very common question that comes up a lot. I'm joined by my colleague Preston too. And I'm going to get him into the prayer with us. Preston, anything you want to lift up or offer before we start the prayer?
My sister had a mole removed and it came back cancerous. So I just want to pray for her and just offer, you know, these next few days up for her as she learns what that means for her. And that if they can cure her before it gets worse, that's, you know, my prayer for today. Amen.
So important to get those moles removed and at least examined. That's for sure. Well, let's pray for her. We'll pray for healing. We get cancer, you know, miracles all the time here over this chaplet. So let's pray for that. Another intention came in out of Philadelphia. This person says, you pray for my 9-month-old granddaughter who has been intubated and transferred to the Children's Hospital with a suspected environmental botulism infection. Wow. Yeah, I want to pray. And I have somebody else I know who's really suffering. They ate something bad the other day, and I hope it's not the same thing, but we will lift them up. Let's pray right now. I was going to share a couple answered prayers, but you know, let's pray. We'll pray now. Tomorrow I'll share a few of the many answered prayers that are coming in. But Lord, we give you our hearts, and we submit to you on this beautiful first day of Lent. We ask for the grace to grow in holiness and to grow in a deeper, more penitential spirit as we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. I want to pray for friends of my wife and I guess me too. I just got word. My wife just slipped me a note today saying, can you pray for Teresa and Jim? This guy was on vacation, right? And ended up having a stroke. And as a result, he went to whatever the local hospital was not treated for over a day. And, you know, it gave me great pause because, you know, if you're a stroke victim, every second counts. So I want to pray for anyone who is in critical care right now, any victims of stroke, anybody who's lost speech or has lost the ability to move, who's not ambulatory. And Lord, I ask for healings. Today, again, I come to you as I do every day, and I ask for miracles. Miracles of healing today. Miracles against cancer. I pray for those miracles that so many people need in their life today that only you and your divine touch can bring. We'll take our first call today. Deacon Abe is praying with us. He's praying in Mesa, Arizona. Deacon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Real quickly, in 2018, my second youngest daughter was diagnosed with uterine cancer. One of her friends called into the show, and that's when we became prayer warriors with your show. She started hemorrhaging in March, and they told her she would not come home. And on Divine Sunday that year, there was a slight change in her hemorrhaging, and I asked the Lord to give me a present. My birthday was 3 days later, and sure enough, on my birthday, she stopped hemorrhaging. So we were blessed with another year of her life, and it was a very good year.
Well, Deacon, I'm glad to hear that. Love that.
Now, January of 2020, my youngest daughter has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and she's gone through surgery, had the chemo, and was in remission, but now it's come back.
Yeah.
And it's on the backside of the liver, which is, means they're going to have to open her up to do the surgery, and they're going to check her. There's a spot on her diaphragm, and there's a concern about her lungs. So she's having surgery at the end of this month, so we're asking for prayers, and if maybe the Lord might touch her and heal her miraculously, or he's going to use the doctors to heal her, that it'd be a successful surgery and she have a quick recovery.
You're a man of great faith. My heart goes out to you to have two daughters having the battle with cancer. Let's petition the Father now together as a family, Deacon, for a real miracle. Divine Mercy Sunday, you got a little gift from the Heavenly Father there, and let's call upon your daughter's intercession. Let's call upon the complete healing of this daughter with ovarian cancer. And I just want to pray for you, Deacon, that God will give you such grace and such fortitude and such strength that many will be amazed at the love and the faith and the trust you have, and that God will honor your prayers right now. Lord, I pray today, I ask you to hear these prayers of this faithful servant of yours. Pray for his daughter. I pray for the vanquishing of that cancer, that ovarian cancer, which can be so lethal, so deadly. And I just ask that it be a great miracle of divine mercy, a great miracle, the power of this prayer and the promises that you've given. And I pray today that today many of those cancer cells that so many people are battling can be vanquished. And I thank you for that. I thank you. I pray now with trust. I pray now with deep faith. And I pray with gratitude. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Gemma is praying with us in California. And everyone, please remember Deacon Abe in your prayers. Gemma, hello. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Could you pray for a friend of mine,
sure,
Jessina, who is going into lumbar spine surgery and probably neck surgery if her physical condition allows. She had already another lumbar spine surgery 2 days ago and is now going into another one or two more surgeries today. So she really needs divine physician's help. So please pray for the successful surgeries and the full recovery for her. And also, I'd like to pray for, pray for the conversion of my husband and the strengthening my daughters and my faith. And also Ukraine, the end to conflict. Amen. In Ukraine.
Well, Gemma, thank you for calling. And we will certainly pray for all those intentions. And I think what St. Faustina said, she wrote in her diary one time, just about, you're asking the Lord to pray for you and just for the trust, for the simplicity. She wrote, "Lord, with the trust and simplicity of a small child, I give myself to you today. I leave you complete freedom to direct my soul. Guide me along the paths that you wish. I'm not going to question them, but I'm just going to trustingly follow your merciful heart in all things." And that's what we have to do with all these intentions we just put forward for the path that the Lord is calling us through, for the time that we might have to carry across. Lord, we will follow you trustingly. We believe in your merciful heart. I know it can do all things. So we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Maggie, of course, will monitor your intentions on Twitter, and please follow us on the show page at Drew Mariani Show. That's Twitter at Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me at Drew Mariani too personally, and on Facebook. But you can leave us your intentions there. Maggie takes them down every day. You can also email me drew@relevantradio.com, and we also love your answered prayers. I love when God works those miracles in your lives. But Maggie, what's coming in today?
We got a request for prayers for a 5-year-old with an inoperable brain tumor. So let's lift that little one up. Tim wrote to us and asked for prayers for Tomas and Gloriana, who are in Poland right now. Maria asked for prayers for her friend's husband. He needs a liver transplant. Doctors gave him 2 months to live. His name is Marcos. Annalisa asked for prayers for surgery. She had surgery recently. It went well, but now she's waiting on lab tests and is hoping that it shows benign signs. B wrote to us and said, "Please pray for me as I struggle with career problems. The more I pray and the more I pray for anything, the more I fail. I think my faith is being tested. Also, please pray for my coworker, Tom, who has brain cancer." And lastly, Robin said, "Please pray for Ukraine and the children who are losing their parents, for peace and for the end of abortion, for the conversion of the world."
Wow. All right. Let's lift up all of those intentions. Let's also bring in Steve, who is praying with us in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. Steve, good afternoon.
Hi, guys. I want to pray for my best friend, Mike. He's going tomorrow for a test to find out if his cancer has returned. I'm praying that the Lord takes that away from him, and if anything, to strengthen him in his latest battle, if that's his intention. I've also called in the past from two friends and coworkers, Patty and Tammy, who were, Tammy has gone home recently to the Lord. I want to pray for her soul and for my friend Patty, who is continuing to battle, and for my beautiful bride and my two girls. I pray for them and their health and their happiness, and for you and our prayer warriors, for this, our strength, that for all of our intentions.
Amen to that. Hey, well, Steve, thank you. Thanks for those beautiful prayers. And, you know, I just feel sometimes that the Lord works in mysterious ways here. Preston called with Preston's praying with me today, and it started off with the intention for cancer, and every intention we've had so far involved that. Let's today all together really ask God to work miracles, especially when they come to this wretched disease. And Lord, I know nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. The cancer is nothing. If you raised Lazarus from the dead, if you restored sight, if you've allowed missing limbs to regenerate, there's not a doubt in my mind you can't vanquish a cancer cell. So I turn to you now, and I really ask that today we have many, many miracles here, miracles that just defy the laws of science, that many can rejoice in you, that we can glorify your mercy. So I immerse in your mercy right now all of those souls battling cancer, those loved ones who are watching, those they care about. Lord, if cancer is the pathway to eternal life for some, then I ask that you allow them to have tremendous peace and that you meet them as a merciful Savior. But I unite all the intentions Maggie voiced, all those who are now with me, crying out for their other needs, those temporal needs that so often are heavy, heavy crosses as well. And I bring them to you as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Take our next call. We've got Gracie praying with us. She's listening and praying in Austin, Texas. Hi, Gracie. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling about my friend Lori. She passed away this afternoon, a little bit after 1 p.m. from pancreatic cancer. She died within three weeks from finding out about her illness.
Wow.
And she was a very private person. She was non-practicing Catholic, and she was very proud. She felt that, you know, that her and God had an understanding that, God took care of his things and that she could take care of her things and that he had already too much on his plate and that, you know, she had this. Mm-hmm. And so she, you know, didn't want to see a chaplain, and I'm just really worried about her soul. And yeah. I just want to pray for her soul, pray for the conversion of her family, that she may have the opportunity to eternity. And yeah. Also want to pray for the comfort of her family during this time of sorrow. She never married. She was the caregiver of her parents. So now her parents will need to be looking wow. at maybe one of the other siblings. And, it's
Gracie,
it's tough.
Did you love her?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Yeah, so you know how much you cared about your friend, right? I can only imagine mm-hmm. God loves her so much more. You know, we worry about our loved ones who are obstinate or, you know, they seem not to be where they should be with God. I had somebody who I knew in a very similar situation. They were kind of proud, didn't really, you know, go to confession. They didn't believe really in it. But, they died. They loved God. They had a relationship with God. And you wonder what happens, mm-hmm. you know. God's a just judge, yes. He's also a merciful Savior. And I believe this prayer is a prayer for the sick. It's a prayer for the dying. And I believe that the prayers we're about to pray for her soul are going to have a lot of effect. They're going to be meritorious. I'm sure many people were praying for her in this final hour. So let's pray for her. I want to pray for you, for your loss, for her family's loss as well. And, you know, I take comfort in this. I don't know. I'm not the judge. God is. I mean, one day we'll know perfectly, you know, where our loved ones are and how God viewed them. The Lord promised St. Faustina. He says that when we pray this prayer, when you and I pray the chaplet, which we're going to do right now, in the presence of the dying, or even if we are at a distance, he will stand between God the Father and the dying person, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. So I take comfort that that soul is being greeted by a merciful Savior. And he says that these prayers that we offer, offer that soul the grace they need, sometimes for eternal salvation. That final moment, their life depends on our prayers. That God himself will defend as his own glory the soul whom, you know, prays the chaplet, or when others say it for a dying person, the pardon is the same. So, Lord, I'm going to stand on that promise. I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to pray for Gracie's loved one, for her friend. I'm going to pray for my loved ones that have gone before me, and for all those who are now united to me in prayer for their loved ones who have gone before them, for all the souls in purgatory. Lord, I pray especially for those who you'll be calling home in the not-too-distant future. And we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next decade, our next call comes from Adam. He's praying in Wisconsin. Hi, Adam. Good afternoon.
Hey, Jerry. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to pray for all married couples, especially my parents and grandparents, and for continuous prayers for me and my girlfriend. I'm hoping to propose here in the upcoming months ahead, so just continued prayers for us in that. Thanks.
You got it, brother. Hey, congratulations. All right. And we will pray for you right now. I'm sure she's very lucky to have you. Prayerful man. Lord, I pray for those discerning vocations, because it is a vocation, it is a calling. And whether it's religious life or whether it's married life, I do pray for the clarity and the peace and just the direction that these souls need, Lord. And you make it very clear to them. You illuminate their paths. I pray for anyone in a troubled relationship right now, whether it's in a marriage or it's amongst family members or coworkers or friends. I ask for your mercy to be the ointment that brings about the healing to whatever division or wound there may be. And today I pray for finances, for those who really need a financial miracle, who don't know how they're going to pay that mortgage or rent or car payment or medical bill or student loan. But I give you those souls now. And I ask your providence be abundant in their life, that they can say, wow, I turned to your mercy and I saw the fruit of that prayer. Lord, I pray for that mother contemplating aborting her child, that person contemplating hurting themselves. Lord, I pray for that person tempted by impurity and unfaithfulness. And Lord, I give to you now every one of your children with the many intentions that they have. Turn to you with faith, with trust, with confidence as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Keeping you better informed, educated, and inspired. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for praying that chapel with me every day. Just a moment, Monsignor Charles Pope is going to be stopping by. We had a call the other day. I didn't get a chance to answer it, and time just goes by so quickly. There's a question I get a lot. People ask about the chapel. How can we offer the body and blood, the soul and divinity of our Lord to the Father? How can you do that? And those are those beautiful words that Jesus himself gave to Faustina to pray. How do you do that? That phrase really consists, if you think about it, of an offering of Jesus back to the Father. And I know it seems strange. It might appear we're making the offering on Christ's behalf. Who are you to do that, right? Now, the reality is, it ultimately points us to a fundamental truth, and that's that through our baptism, when you are baptized, you are so deeply united with Christ that your actions can actually become his. St. Paul conveyed that in Colossians, I think it's 1:24, where he says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what's lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body," which is the church. So in a sense, if you think about it, he does belong to us just as we belong to him. In a very real sense, when you pray the chaplet, the chaplet of divine mercy kind of fulfills that participation in what the Catholic Church refers to as the priesthood of all believers or common priesthood, right? And that's how it was explained to me when I first had that question. I learned about divine mercy back in 1993. I was at the beatification of St. Faustina. I was working on a documentary, and I was introduced to it by the vice postulator for the canonization of the cause, and he became my mentor. And this is such a big point. If you think about it, through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation, you know, we are consecrated to be a holy priesthood, right? The Catechism of the Catholic Church talks about that. So we can, in a sense, offer Christ to the Father. It's also enshrined in the Catholic liturgical tradition. You know, if you look at some of the readings of the liturgy as well, I mean, the Eucharistic prayer, number 4, there's probably another one in there too that those words are contained in. But, you know, rather than me go off and belabor the point, let me bring in a very gifted Catholic priest, a Monsignor. You know him. He's been with me many times. He's a wonderful writer. I follow his writings, and I often try to give platform to them. And those are the writings of Monsignor Charles Pope, the pastor of Holy Comforter, St. Cyprian Parish in Washington, D.C. And if you want to read him, follow him as I do, go to msgrpope.com, monsignorpope.com. Monsignor, let's pick up on this point. We're going to talk about something else, but I did get that call about this. And this concept of the priesthood or offering the body, blood, soul, and divinity to the Lord, I'd love you to give your take on it and maybe bring some clarity in a way maybe better than I could.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track there. I mean, and I think what concerns some people is it sounds like what only a priest can do at Mass.
Right.
And it is true that at Mass, the priest acts in the person of Christ, the head. So this is ultimately Jesus' perfect once-for-all sacrifice to the Father. However, saying a prayer is not the same as saying Mass. And so you're right. I mean, as a member of the body, in a certain sense, we have to qualify it carefully, but in a certain sense, every act of the body is an act of the whole body. So that's why the people's amen is very important, through him, with him, and in him, because they join and make their prayer one with the prayer of Christ. So we always tell people, come to Mass and make the perfect sacrifice of thanksgiving that only Jesus can make, but you're joined to him in that.
Right.
And he makes it for you. But, it doesn't mean hopefully the fruits of Mass take place throughout the day or throughout the week so that we're able to refer back to that perfect sacrifice of Christ and as a member of his body, make it our own. That's also why we say our Father. We're sons of God in the sense because we're members of the body of Christ. When we say our Father, we're calling on our Father. We're adopted, but we're the members of the body of Christ, and the body works together.
I love that. It's so beautifully said. It really is a deep mystery in some respects, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. And, we have to be careful and qualify things. For example, that we baptize thing that came up, well, that's an inappropriate, because the I who baptizes is Christ. And we the community don't be Christ baptizes, and so we want to make that clear to say we confuses who's the real celebrant of the sacrament, and that's Jesus. But that's in the sacraments, there's that precision, but in our prayers we join to this whole action of the church, which is the body of Christ and Christ himself the head.
Amen to that. Hey, on that baptism issue, just get your take on that. For those who don't know, there have been several incidences where priests have, I guess by chance, went back. They saw their own baptism video and realized, oh my gosh, I was not properly baptized. You need the proper formula for that. And, many of these cases took place in the 70s where people were using the words, we baptize you. It was kind of a communal thing. And the words, of course, had to be very Trinitarian. It had to be, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, et cetera. So, that created tremendous concern. I know for a lot of people, priests had to be, rebaptized and given as communion and ordained. And that was a pretty big issue, wasn't it, Father? I mean, have you seen any of this in your own time in the 70s or the 80s? Any concerns about, how prolific a problem that might actually be?
Yeah, I don't know how prolific. I know that there's a parish in this diocese where this may have, in fact, been the case that the priest there was using the incorrect formula, and so again, they're tracking those folks down and trying to make sure that they do a conditional baptism. I have to say, again, here we come back to the precision that we have to have with sacraments as opposed to just the devotional prayer. Is that with sacraments, it's about matter and form. That's what makes a sacrament. We have to be very careful to pronounce the words exactly. And so, again, these are the things that require precision. I would also say, the idea that we baptize, it's a failure of an analogy because, let's say I go for a walk, and my whole body participates in that. However, the heart pumps the blood, but we don't say the whole body pumps the blood.
Right.
In other words, in the sacraments, Christ is the high priest, and he configures ministerial priests like myself, and he acts through us, but it's he. This is my body. That's Christ speaking. I absolve you. That's Christ speaking. this, you know, the I baptize you. That's Jesus Christ speaking. He's the high priest. And he's the celebrant of every sacrament. And the priest only speaks, you know, on, if you will, on his behalf. So that's why we is so inappropriate there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know a lot of people have been kind of freaked out by that, thinking, oh, well, what if my baptism, you know, what the words weren't correct. Your thoughts on that? Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, okay. But don't be so, you know, the church is bound by the sacraments, but God is not. And if somebody in good faith was baptized and thought they were properly baptized and never discovered this and goes to the judgment seat and Christ says, sorry, someone goofed. You're not on the list. No, God is not. God is not like that. But so in the one sense, don't be so scared that you're, you know, thinking, oh, my gosh, I might not be saved or something. But rather, but understand that the church is bound by the sacraments. We are supposed to do what Jesus said. We don't use milk and cookies. We use bread and wine. Mm-hmm. Things like that. We're bound to these things. And so if we discover we messed up, we have an obligation to try to make it right. But if that can't be done, and a person just doesn't know or ever find out or what have you, then I'm sure God will be merciful, but because he's not bound, but we are, and that's the point. We can't play around with this stuff.
It's such a great line. Yeah, the church is bound by the sacraments, but God is not. I always defer to the mercy of God. Not that, you know... Mm-hmm. You can use that as a, you know, as an excuse. You have to conduct your life and live accordingly. But, you know, in situations like that, I would not lose a minute of sleep over wondering whether or not the priest who baptized me did it correctly. I'm going to trust that he did and that God in his mercy will judge me by my life. Hey, Monsignor, let me open the phones. If anyone wants to get in, you want to join our conversation today, feel free to. We'd love to have you. The number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You can get in right now. Maybe you've got a question. We're also going to talk Lent today. You know, maybe you are not Catholic and you're saying, man, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Why do Catholics wear ashes, right? What's the purpose behind them? And over this season, you know, how can you really grow in holiness? I mean, this should be a transformative time for all of us. We'll talk about that and a lot more. So feel free to join us. We can talk everything from fasting to baptism to ways to grow in holiness. The number here, 888-914-9149. We're back with Monsignor Charles Pope. Your calls right after this.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
When most people think about Lent, they think about something they have to give up. But Lent is so much more than that.
Lent is a time to help us grow spiritually and prepare to celebrate Easter. The word Lent comes from the Anglo-Saxon word lengthen, which means spring. A time when the days start to lengthen. So we can look at Lent as a time of lengthening or stretching ourselves spiritually. It's like a journey that God invites us on in order to grow closer to Him.
The first mention of Lent was found in 325 AD at the Church's Council of Nicaea. It's the same council that gave us the Nicene Creed, which all Christians profess.
At the council, Lent was mentioned as a time of 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter. It was a time of spiritual preparation for adults who were converting to Christianity. At the end of the 40 days on Easter, they'd be baptized.
Eventually, other Christians wanted in to support the new converts, but also because they recognized their own need for ongoing penance and conversion.
At the Council of Nicaea, the word used for Lent was tesserakonta, which in Greek means 40. Remember, 40 is a significant number in the Bible. During the flood with Noah, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. After leaving Egypt, the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And Jesus spent 40 days in the desert fasting and being tempted by the devil before starting his public ministry.
What do all of those have in common?
Destruction, confusion, suffering.
Yes, but also these were times of preparation. That's what Lent is. Just like training for a Spartan race, Lent is a time to train spiritually.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, there you go. And today we begin Lent, right? Ash Wednesday. If you have not made your Lenten resolution, then we We could talk about that, too. I invite you to join us every day for the rosary or for the Mass. Make that part of your practice. Lent has three different legs, if you will. It's prayer, it's penance, and it's almsgiving. And prayerfully consider what you can do and use it as an opportunity to grow in holiness over the days ahead. My guest today is none other than Monsignor Charles Pope. He'll take a few of your calls for you today, too, as we take a look at ways to grow in holiness and as we are looking at everything from the sacraments to whatever's on your mind. And Monsignor, let's go right to the phones. We'll go to Marie, who's listening in Wisconsin. Marie, good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was wondering if in the baptism they say, I baptize you in the name of the Creator, Savior, and I think Advocate. Is that valid? And I'll take answer off the phone. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Yeah, that was another unfortunate thing that entered in, during the kind of the period, especially in the 80s when feminism was, saying we had to use inclusive language for everything. And so there were some mostly Protestant churches, Episcopalian primarily, that were using, I baptize in the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and the Sanctifier. Mm-hmm. And this is invalid. That's why today, we used to always presume that most Protestant baptisms were valid, but now we have to get a lot of information. How was it done? Do you remember what was said? And did they pour water or immerse you in water? There are a lot of unfortunate, we live in a time where people just feel like we had a perfect right to just scrap things and make up their own stuff. And it's terrible. And there are just some things that got to be done right. If I go to the doctor, I want to make sure that they're going to follow proper procedures and not just make some stuff up, it's that way with the sacraments.
I love it. Well said. Gina is listening in San Diego. Hi, Gina.
Hi. I have a question about communion. Is only a Catholic priest able to turn the bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus? Or is that valid for other churches, other ministers, et cetera, to do that? And I'll listen offline, too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only a validly ordained priest can, as you say, effect the transubstantiation, the bread and the wine, to the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. So although Episcopalians call some of their ministers priests and others, they don't have, unless somehow they were validly ordained at some point, a Catholic priest, they don't have the power to do that. And apostolic succession and all these things are very important. And only a validly ordained Catholic priest, obviously a bishop who's an uber priest. to be a priest.
Well, let's do some 101 on Lent, too, for those who, who may not know why we do what we do. And I'm always struck by the fact that more people go to church, it seems, on Ash Wednesday. Catholics who have not been there, the getting ashes to them is the most important thing. And I always kind of chuckled that a little bit. But I'd love your explanation for those who are listening as to why on Ash Wednesday ashes are given and the purpose of the next, this whole Lenten season, if you will.
Well, of course, ashes are in the Bible a symbol of repentance. A need to mourn one's sins. They would repent in sackcloth and ashes, is the expression. And that's the symbol of the ashes. Now, there's an additional thing, though, that we add to it. And that's why I think it's so interesting how many people come to church on Ash Wednesday, because the fundamental message is you are going to die. You are dust, and unto dust you shall return, as the ashes are applied. Right. And of course, that begs the question: then, what are you doing to get ready to meet God? See, and in the first reading, and also in the gospel, we have these calls to fast and pray and prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord. And we're going to either go to Him, or He's coming to us, but we will die, and it's time to look to that. Now, then we add to that, though, there are three traditional practices that come from really Jewish piety, and just brought over into the Christian churches, which is prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And so it's a time to perhaps spend time, extra time in prayer or the reading of scriptures, fasting, you know, giving up something and thereby saving a little money and giving that money to the poor. And so these things are linked. And now, again, the danger is that we get kind of perfunctory. So oh, I'm going to give up booze or I'm going to give up chocolate. And then we just sort of check the box and we're done with it. What we're aiming for is not so much the mouth, but the heart. And maybe more what comes out of the mouth than what goes into it. So you see, it's not to be understood in just a perfunctory way. So that we want to, you know, get some self-mastery and say these things I need to control. But anyway, that's probably enough from me. But the idea is that's the traditional focus of Lent.
Yeah, my guest today, Monsignor Charles Pope, and we are taking a few of your calls today. If you want to join us, feel free to do that. As a side and very personal note, it's like, why is it that people, why do so many go on Ash Wednesday? To you know, your point, you're reminded that you're dust and from dust you will return. I would think Christmas or Easter or some other time would have those numbers. What is it about Ash Wednesday that seems to draw so many people?
It's a little bit like, even some people who are sort of alienated from the church, somehow they just want to still say, I belong. I'm still there. You know, in other words, I don't know if it's forget me not or what we're dealing with, but there's a kind of a sense, and even a lot of non-Catholics want ashes. There's something about taking that sign or that symbol as that people want. Also, I think there was used to call them A&P Catholics, ashes and palms, because you get something, you get some ashes, or you get the palm. You know, but I said, well, don't you think you get Jesus in Holy Communion? Well, yeah, but you know, but wait a minute. You know, it's all kind of crazy, but I don't know. I just think, you know, even Catholics who are angry with the church or have left or largely don't go, there's still something. You know, they're one confession away from coming home, and they just somehow, I don't know, want to renew or remember that. So I hope so. Anyway, that's my most positive spin on it.
I like it. Well, here's a basic Lent question for you. Claire's listening in California. Hi, Claire. Go right ahead.
Hi. Hi. Yeah. I'm just wondering, my coworker is asking me, why is it 46 days and not 40, the Lent?
Yeah. Well, some try to make the math work. It isn't exactly 40 days, no matter. I mean, you can try to add up this or remove those or don't count the Sundays. There's lots of different ways that people try to make it add up to 40, but it's not. Now, it means approximately 40 days. For example, in the old Latin Mass, we still follow what's called Septuagesima, which is 70 days. And Sexagesima, 60 days, and 50 days of Quinquagesima, and then Quadragesima. But none of those are exactly 50 or 670, 60 or 50 days either. It's a period of about 40 days. And I think that's the best way to handle it, because if you try to make it, you know, you have to do lots of bending over, and you know, it's like twisting yourself into a pretzel to make it add up to exactly 40. So I think that the best thing is just to say, well, it means about 40 days.
Well, Monsignor, I only have about a minute or two left, not even that. I want to get people connected to you. Best way is MonsignorPope.com, right? MSGRPope.com. And what are you writing now? What's up next? What's your latest piece?
Well, I have a piece on gratitude. Maybe that for Lent, a good thing to do is to really work on gratitude. You know, that's it's amazing how ungrateful we can sometimes be, how good God is to us. And so I just maybe suggest that's a work for Lent to focus on. And I also have something over at the Catholic Register about the We Baptize issue. That's over at the National Catholic Register.
Well, I can't wait to read it. I'll tell you what, I think about that all the time. I think about how often I petition God and how little I often thank him. And yet my thanks should certainly outweigh my petition. Monsignor, thank you. Keep up the good work. Look forward to the next time we can hang out together, okay? Happy Lent.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. You
all
too.
Right. That's Monsignor Charles Pope, pastor of Holy Comforter, St. Cyprian Parish there in Washington, D.C. I'll be right back.